Hello, this is Kim Van Oostrom with CHA. May I ask who's called in?
Yes, my name is Linda Stetter. I'm Director of Mission at St. Mary Corwin Hospital in Pueblo, Colorado.
Thanks for joining us, Linda.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Kim Van Oostrom with CHA. May I ask who's joined the call? All right. I might have just heard a ring. And Bruce Compton, who's our Senior Director of International Outreach, should be logging on very soon to start the call.
This is Bruce.
Hi, Bruce. This is Kim at CHA. And right now, you have several people on the line. You have Darren, Rosa, and Linda. And I think maybe a couple others are on, but I didn't get their names.
Thanks.
I'm sorry. I'm Carla Prentice with GHI and Centura Health in Colorado.
Great.
Hi, this is Sister Patricia from Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Sounds like we have several people joining us right now. I have 4 o'clock.
Hi, Bruce. This is Bridget.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Bruce. It's Rory.
Hi, Rory. Good afternoon, everyone.
Bruce, Clayton Williams here.
Good afternoon. Okay, I have 401. I'm going to go ahead and get started. We'll probably have a few people join us as we get started. I'm calling today from Washington, D.C., actually calling from the Pentagon. I was just in a meeting with several people here about humanitarian assistance from several of the Department of Defense and the military and several other NGOs that are interested in participating in working with the Department of Defense and getting things. Sorry, I'm getting feedback. Is there someone on a cell phone that maybe could put it on mute? I wanted to start with an update on our recent trip to Haiti, recent trips to Haiti. We have really turned a corner with the hospital project in Haiti and the network in Haiti. I think we're really moving on the right track. We will be going to Zambia with CRS later this month, and we'll be attending the African Christian Health Association platform meeting. And as part of that meeting, the network is going to be taking the CRS health director, a representative of the network and the person from Health System Strengthening Initiative at CRS to really take and understand how networks within Africa that have been around for several years and now come together as a continent, how they operate, and to understand the different models and begin to determine how best to continue to move this forward. So we're really excited about that. CRS has a new health person, a new health director in Haiti. She seems Delphine Sherwood, and she seems to be doing very quickly getting on board and a big supporter of the network project. I was down there in December, attended the meeting. Greg Hodgson from Centura was also there, and Centura did some visits to several of the network hospitals, has since done an analysis and sent that back to CRS, I think quite helpful to the network. We've also asked some of our members to become a little bit more involved in helping to work with the network, and so we are going to be calling on a few people to do that with us. So I think the network in Haiti is headed in the right direction to work on supply chain for the future of those hospitals. I guess I can, as I go through each of these, if there are any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. So any questions about the network in Haiti?
Sounds good.
Great. So equally important, the hospital construction has started, and the Joint Steering Committee, which Jack Logue and I both sit on for CHA and the members who made donations, has really also turned a corner. I think the fact that the hospital has started to, the construction has started and the building is coming out of the ground, really made the bishop understand, the archbishop understand that this was going to be a reality. As a matter of fact, he said so. He said that a year ago he didn't know if this was a dream or if it was really going to happen, but now he sees that it's reality. And you can tell that it has, CRS has really turned the corner with that project as well. They have finished the management study and are working with a consultant to do the economic feasibility study. And the new country director for CRS Haiti has really established a great working relationship with the Archbishop. Our last meeting, Jack Logue and I left, I think, feeling more confident than we had ever felt before. And I think we have the right relationships in place to really move this, continue to move this forward. So the hospital is a few days behind schedule because of Hurricane Sandy and other issues that have come up with importing steel and getting the appropriate rebar and such. But I think it's all on the right path at this point in time. They do still believe that they can finish in June of 2014.
Bruce, it's Jack Logue. If I can just add, it's really a very substantial building, and it's being built to international earthquake standards. So it's even looking different than the other buildings you see down there.
Yeah, I think the fact that we saw heavy equipment doing a lot of the work, the pre-work to prepare the ground and so forth, is something that you don't see very often. I haven't seen very often in the 17 years I've been going to Haiti. Jack, is there anything else you would add about the Joint Steering Committee?
No, I would just confirm that we really are, for the first time, really, really believing this isn't a dream. It really is going to happen.
Yeah. They're definitely, I don't want to give anyone on the call to the miss, you know, understanding that there aren't still hurdles. So we still have to hire the right, they still have to hire the right people. And the Joint Steering Committee is now going to be involved in some of those decisions and helping to affirm those decisions. And they did lay off about 100 people from the old hospital, really at the insistence of CRS because of the inefficiency of the work that was happening. The good news is that they have about 100 people working on the construction project. So And those are almost all Haitians. I know that's been a question in the past. And all the laborers, when we were there, the majority of them were Haitian workers. So, and CRS is working with the Archdiocese to come up with a staffing plan for the future. So, next thing on the agenda is CHA sort of activities beyond Haiti. We are going to be having a webinar to really have CRS do a comprehensive update on the Haiti project and hopefully touch a little bit on some of the other health system strengthening initiatives on April 11th from noon to 1 Eastern time. So please mark your calendars for that. We just confirmed that Carolyn Wu will be joining us for part of that call. Also, you will be receiving in the very near future an email from me about the Global Summit. The Global Summit agenda is coming along well. We have several people confirmed. Sister Mary Hadid will kick off the summit with a reflection about the traditions of Catholic healthcare. Father John Newell, the Executive Director of the U.S. Catholic Mission Association, will then do a brief update on and a book review from his 30 years of experience working in Madagascar on the book Healing, Helping Without Hurting. After that, we will have a couple of our members who have partners in the developing world talking about how it is to partner with U.S. Catholic Healthcare. At that point, we will all go into a joint meeting as part of Assembly. We have a very high-profile invited guest to be the speaker. You can all say a prayer that this speaker confirms their attendance. It would be part of the Assembly, and I think it would be a draw both to Assembly and to the Global Summit if she confirms. So that would be the next session. We will have a lunch session, and then in the afternoon we've invited Bishop Pates from Des Moines to speak on international justice and peace. He is the International Justice and Peace Chair for the USCCB. We have not yet heard if he will be able to join us, but we're hopeful that we'll have somebody from that committee joining us to talk about the USCCB International Justice and Peace and the initiatives and how we may be able to collaborate with them. We'll then have another session, which will be on funding options. We've invited Alexia Kelly from FADICA. We also have confirmed that Sister Joyce Meyer, who used to work for the Hilton Foundation for Sisters, is on the Hilton Foundation, the broader Hilton Foundation board, is on the Medicine for Humanity board and is a consultant to working on funding issues with both communities and foundations, and is also currently contracting with LCWR on international issues. She'll be speaking hopefully with others about foundations and funding and what we need to look for and how we might go about that as individual organizations looking for funding for our projects. Then we will have Bruce Wilkinson from Catholic Medical Mission Board lead us through some case studies, and we're going to be working on case studies relevant to Catholic healthcare. Bruce will facilitate a conversation talking about case studies that affect the work that we're doing. And finally, we'll close with Dr. Carissa Etienne, who was sworn in last week as the director of the Pan-American Health Organization. So we have a great lineup for the Global Summit and are looking forward to having you all join us in Anaheim on June 4th. Kim, can you give a quick update on the international focus reflections and prayers if you're still on and where those are on our website?
I am on, Bruce.
Thank you.
These are on our website in two different places. If you go to where I hope you all know, which is our International Outreach Overview page, that you'll see them posted down below under New Resources. They're also on the Resources page under or on the international site. And in addition, at the top, you'll see about CHA, our work. There's some headers, and there's one that says prayers. And if you go to the prayer index, come right under that, they're listed there under national and international observances. And there are 9 new prayers for specific days, and then 4 or 3 general meeting opening for or specific things for if you send a medical surplus shipment. They're just great. We hope they're at your fingertip resources that you can use in your daily work.
Thanks, Kim. And I know we sent one out in January, and we had lots of positive feedback about it was in relation to the earthquake. We will send reminders to you as those days come up, letting you know that those prayers are available and sending you links to the ones for those days. So thanks to Kim and those that she worked with on that project. Somebody's doing construction. maybe they're calling from the hospital site. Yeah. the next item is titled Survey Project, which is maybe a little mysterious to all of you. But I've had several conversations recently with individual hospitals, and I wanted to talk to you today and get some feedback from the larger group. We've had several of the hospitals say it'd be great to know where other hospitals are working. I would love to say that we will go out and do a survey and ask people to fill it out. We haven't had great success in getting individuals to respond to these types of surveys in the past. So I want to hear from the people on the phone. Do you think it would be useful to know what other individual hospitals are doing to add to the map that we have of what systems are doing? And if so, would you be willing to work with those in your system to encourage them to answer the survey? Any thoughts?
Hi, Bruce. This is Diane, Diane Jones. And I know we have had challenges trying to get people to respond to this in the past. But if it is helpful, I'm certainly happy to work with our hospitals and have them report what they're doing. I think the challenge is, how will people use this information once we have it?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because this is Bridget, is trying to get best practices, and will that facilitate bringing forward other best practices?
Well, I mean, therein lies my sort of concern with this is we don't know what the best practices are. We haven't identified best practices, and so it's great to put information out there, but if we're teaching someone or sharing a resource of someone that doesn't do something well, are we doing good? So, on the other hand, I think it always helps to have people be able to share, because it may be that it happens the opposite way, that somebody's doing something and somebody connects with them and new ideas are formed. So I see the pros and cons, but I wanted to hear from all of you about this opportunity.
This is Mary Jo McGinley, and one of the things that I think is always a little bit difficult for people to kind of delineate, and that is which international programs are being done via the hospital's staff, medical staff, or other groups, and which ones are actually supported by the hospital. I think there's a big difference. And a lot of hospitals have individual doctors going on trips, but they don't necessarily provide any support for them.
Right. And what does support mean? Right.
Right. Well, I guess you could, I mean, you could narrow it down to two things. One would be financial support and the other one would be meds and supplies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of, I mean, the hospital I used to work in years ago, we had a lot of doctors that went on missions, but they weren't connected to us at all.
Right.
This is Sister Suzanne Stahl. I would be interested in seeing some of the efforts that are being done, and particularly I'd like to see our hospitals develop some teams to go over to different places, and maybe something that somebody's doing might be a place that we might be able to link up to.
Right. Any other thoughts?
Bruce, how is the running, this is Sister Rosemary, how is the running of the hospital, the structure going?
Which hospital?
St. Francois de Sales.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Do you mean the management of the hospital?
Yeah. How is that?
So the hospital is currently closed down. They've closed the temporary sites, and that was another condition of CRS, and they're only working out of the outpatient clinic.
Uh-huh.
And CRS is working very closely with the Archbishop and the current administrator to determine future administrative positions. So I'd say at this point, CRS has really intervened and was a great resource to the Archdiocese in letting these 100 people go and let them go appropriately according to Haitian law. And it has really, I think, opened the eyes to the Archdiocese about their needs for continuing to be educated and to have appropriate administrators for the future. So I'm not sure I directly answered your question, but I think
yes, you
the
did.
Answer,
thank you.
They're moving forward, and CRS will be involved in those decisions, as will Jack and I as it comes to these positions on the Joint Steering Committee.
Thank you.
Back to the survey of our hospitals and health systems here in the U.S., any other thoughts about if this information would be useful? And I think, too, I think it was Sister Suzanne who said, I guess the question I would have is would this need to be public information, or is it something we could collect and encourage people like Sister Suzanne to reach out to us? When they have those kind of questions, and we can make that make information available to them about who's doing different kinds of work. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage you to do that. I'm not sure I have the name right, but I would encourage you to give us a call. We can surely give you some names of people that are doing those kinds of trips.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Any other thoughts before I move on?
This is Suzanne Stahl again. Just to clarify, I was even thinking of some hospitals or activities that some systems might have that we might send people to for a period of time.
Sure. And again, I'd be happy to talk to you about people you may want to talk with, individuals. So, absolutely. I think I heard someone else.
Bruce, it's Robert Willamy at CMMB, and I was just thinking about Mary Jo's comment, and I agree with her. I think if you didn't move forward with that that survey and trying to track that, I guess it does make sense, or you might want to think about just setting some threshold or some criteria, you know, by which the systems and the hospitals might be able to categorize their programs so that you do sort of weed out the sort of independent, you know, doctor trips and if you give them some sort of, benchmark for what kind of programs you're looking to track, that might be helpful to them.
Yeah, and I think if we do this publicly in any way, we're going to have to, for our own benefit, we're going to have to go back to the hospitals and verify with somebody right. in a position of leadership that this is something they really think they sponsor, not just the doctor that thinks they sponsor them somehow. So I know I was recently at a meeting where someone came to the realization that most likely these doctors think we're sponsoring them because they have access and things and are probably just ordering additional to take with them on the trip. So I would hope that doesn't happen, but I think they came to the realization that that might be a distinct possibility. So we would have to go back to the hospitals and verify that. I'm considering trying to get an intern from St. Louis U or somewhere to work on this for the summer if we really think it would be useful information. So if anybody has any further thoughts after the call, please don't hesitate to send an email to me and let me know if there's any other concerns, thoughts, ideas that would be helpful in using this. Okay. I mentioned at the beginning of the call that I'm calling from the Pentagon. I was here working with a group on humanitarian assistance, and it sounds like there's great progress in potential for there to be collaboration with some of those organizations that would be making donations internationally. And great contacts for moving that forward. Also wanted to say that the medical surplus recovery organizations in the collaboration with the Partnership for Quality Medical Donations has been moving in a fabulous direction. And I believe it's really to those of you that participated as part of the Catholic Consortium for International Healthcare, it really was the impetus of that group that, you know, sort of led to the research that we've done at CHA. And I think just lots of progress has been made in that regard. We will be publishing, I know you've heard this before, we will be publishing a new resource about best practices for hospitals and health systems, leading practices in working with medical surplus and medical surplus organizations that really is an add-on to the work that we did before on the research project. But we continue to get kudos from WHO. We will be presenting that research as well with Catholic Relief Services and PQMD at the African Christian Health Association platforms with 17 countries in attendance there. And I believe people from the UN and others will also be there. And it's just, it really has continued to move forward and wanted to, you know, just acknowledge that, you know, that work came out of, it's been something I've been doing since I came here and came out of that work from the consortium. So thank you. And that's, I'm really trying to keep my comments a bit briefer, more brief today because we do have an update from Trinity Health. And so if there are any other questions about what CHA is doing, then I would turn at this point if Jim Cotalingam is on the line. I know there was yesterday in the email there was a PowerPoint that Jim's going to go through that was attached, if you have that available. But Jim, if you're on the line, I'll turn it over to you to do a quick update on the international activities of Trinity Health.
Thank you, Bruce. So I will be referring to the presentation that Bruce mentioned, so if you do have that, that would be great. And Bruce asked me to just do a quick 5 minutes, so it's a number of slides, but there are a lot of pictures, so I will try to get through this in about 5 minutes. But just turning to the second slide in the presentation, what is Trinity Health International? It is a subsidiary of Trinity Health. I think we're probably the smallest organization within all of Trinity Health. We have about 1.5 FTEs based here in the United States that are actually Trinity Health employees, and I count part of my time as that, in that 1.5. But we also have local program staff that we employ or engage out in the country that we're serving in, the Marshall Islands, and there are about 17 people there working in the program that we operate there. We've been around for about 30 years as an organization, and we started at one of our hospitals in Mason City, Iowa, and the CEO of Mercy Health Services at the time thought that they were doing such great work that he brought the organization up to the corporate level, to the Mercy Health Services wide level, and when Mercy became Trinity, we continued to be a corporate entity. But really, we were started at one of our hospitals, and I think that's one of the neatest parts of our story as an organization. We did go through a significant reorganization a few years back. At the time, the organization was doing kind of a mix of mission-oriented projects and projects that I would describe as very revenue-oriented, business-oriented types of projects. I was asked by our Trinity Health CEO to assess the organization and give him some options about where to take it in the future, and we collectively decided to focus on the mission project and not on the business side. And so that's what I'll highlight a little bit later on. Our main sources of funding are really grants that we receive and Trinity Health support to a lesser extent. And actually, currently, we're producing an operating income, which I know just because when I do this presentation for our hospitals, I know how much financial pressure they're under, and I want to try to assure them that the work that we're doing in Trinity International is not in any significant way impacting their finances directly. So on slide three, I give a quick overview of why we're doing our international ministry. And this was really important to us those few years ago when we were assessing our organization and determining what that future direction should be. Really, we viewed Trinity Health International as just an extension of the work that we do within Trinity Health to try to address community need, to address this system of healthcare and justice that exists. And really, for the reasons that are listed on this slide, we thought that focusing our efforts on the mission work made a lot of sense, and that's what we've done. So on slide four, where and how does Trinity Health International serve? Well, the main thing that we do is in the Republic of the Marshall Islands. So if you think about where Hawaii is and Australia is, it's about halfway in between. And what we do there is that we run a health plan that provides all the primary care for people affected by U.S. nuclear weapons testing during the Cold War and their descendants. If you take a quick peek ahead to slide five, you'll see a picture of a nuclear weapons test in the Marshall Islands at the Bikini Atoll. And during the Cold War, the U.S. actually lit off over 60 nuclear weapons in that area. I think they wanted to test what would happen to Navy ships if a nuclear weapon went off. So they towed old ships to these islands and they blew off the weapons. And sometimes the contamination from the weapons testing, the nuclear fallout, would fall over populated areas. And so the U.S. government pays about $1 million a year to the government of the Marshall Islands to provide primary care services to the descendants of these people. And the government of the Marshall Islands hires us to administer that program. So we operate six clinics, four of which are on very remote locations, very hard to get to and to have sustainable resources like water, power, et cetera. And I'll go a little bit more into detail on the Marshall Islands program, but that's really the main thing that we're doing right now. The second thing that we're doing that we do actually spend a fair amount of time on is our support for a small Catholic hospital in Guyana. So if you think of the Amazon region in South America, just north of Brazil, this hospital was introduced to us by the Sisters of Mercy, one of our founding organizations within Trinity Health. And we provide all sorts of support for the hospital, whatever we can do, everything from strategic planning, which is my area of discipline, to training experiences for their clinical and administrative staff. We've brought them to the United States to spend time in Trinity Health hospitals. More recently, we've really focused on equipment and supply donations. So we've partnered with organizations like Hospital Sisters Mission Outreach and Global Links, and just within the last couple of months have sent two shipments to the hospital through these organizations. I would really just want to note the collaboration that we've had with Catholic Health Partners to better structure and share support for the hospital. Maybe about a year ago, Catholic Health Partners and Trinity Health International started having some dialogue about how we could work together, and now we regularly have phone calls the two organizations with the hospital, with the Sisters of Mercy, and we talk about areas of support and how we can continue to sustain them. And I think just CHP has been a wonderful addition to the team here and a great resource to support the hospital. And we list a couple of other areas of support there, but for the sake of time, I'll just let those be. Turning to slide six, kind of back to the Marshall Islands, here's an org chart that shows all the folks that we have in the Marshall Islands providing the primary care to these people. There's about 17,000 people or so that we provide primary care to. And we go wherever we can go to get physicians to relocate to these remote islands. Typically, our physicians come from the Philippines or Nepal or India, and we usually do a recruitment trip every year or two to recruit these physicians in to help relocate them. On slide seven, you can see some examples of the type of work that we do in our clinics. The top picture there of that lady is part of our diabetes and hypertension screening. In the bottom left, you can see some of the immunization programs, and in the bottom right, some of the Well Baby Clinic programs that we do. On slide eight, some pictures from a dental mission and an eye clinic that we do. And then finally on slide nine, I have some pictures from St. Joseph Mercy Hospital in Georgetown, Guyana. So as you can see at the top left, that's what the hospital looked like back in the day. It's a big white wooden structure. And a few years ago, the hospital suffered a significant fire, and there's a picture of that on the upper right. They lost their emergency room, medical records, several other areas, and they've been rebuilding and opening up capacity to get it back to where it used to be. On the bottom left, you can see some equipment from one of the shipments that we recently sponsored. I think this was the shipment that we did with Global Links. And on the bottom right, some of the staff who are unloading the supplies that we sent. But in terms of where Trinity Health International is spending its time right now, it's really on those two missions that we're focused. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have, or else I'll hand it back to Bruce. Bruce, hearing no questions, let me hand the mic back over to you.
Thanks, Jim. I was talking and had the phone on mute, so I'm glad you handed it back a second time. So, any other any questions for Jim? What I was saying was, it really is a different. Part of what you do is such a different model than what we have normally heard from Catholic healthcare. So, thanks for giving us that update, and it's great to hear that you're partnering with some of those MSROs and the work that we continue to talk about and do research on here at CHA. I have next, CMMB has asked to do an update on a few projects they're doing. Robert Willamy, are you still on the call?
I sure am, Bruce. Thank you very much. Hi, everyone. Before I give my brief update, I just wanted to thank the members of the call and the CHA family for those of you who helped us celebrate our 100-year anniversary in December at our Mass and our gala. We really appreciate your being there and sharing that with us. And also those of you who have, answered our call to provide your input into our strategic revisioning process. As CMMB enters its 100th year, we're looking at how we can better answer the call to service and strengthen our programs, and your input has been really helpful. So thank you for all that you're doing for us. I wanted to give three quick updates, one on our collaborative partnership with Bon Secours and Christus Health on our IMCI, Integrated Management of Childhood Illness Program in Peru. That's a child survival program where we're reducing the cases of morbidity and mortality. In December, we have finished our three-year cycle. This was a three-year program started, obviously, 3 years ago. And we've completed our third year in two of those communities sponsored by Bon Secours. And we're in our final year in an additional community in Chimbote with Christus. So at the end of that project, we're still doing some of our three-year analysis, but we have actively enrolled 1,000 families in that project, and we're currently monitoring 1,900 children under the age of five for, health indicators. One of, the three-year outcomes and key indicators that we were tracking is anemia, and we have seen a marked reduction in anemia in all three of those communities. We've also been able to strengthen the network between the Catholic congregations and the Catholic clinics and the Ministry of Health systems and the Ministry of Health clinics. So we worked very hard on building that referral network so that the ministry is understanding what's happening in those communities and how the sisters are responding to clinical needs in those communities. So that is, an outcome that we're quite proud of. I think because of that success, Bonsecours has agreed to extend their commitment to that program for another year as we work through how we might expand services long range and grow that program long range. So that's one thing that I wanted to touch on, that we're partnering with some of the CHA members. The other two projects, real quickly, Bruce, I thought might be of interest to members because I think it touches on some of their work. Last year, CMMB launched two pilot programs to strengthen the capacity of consignees. Those are small groups who receive CMMB medicines, donated medicines. So we're working to strengthen their medical supply chain management systems, how they track medicines, inventory them, store them, and then report back on how those medicines are being used. So we did that with a group of our consignees in Nicaragua earlier in 2012, and also in Haiti with the seven hospitals that are participating in PEPFAR. We will be doing another training of consignees in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, with the Catholic network that is being developed there. And I only bring that up here is because we do have a commitment to doing more of these in the future. We're going to expand them to Africa. And to the extent that, different CHA partners have, partners in country or clinics in country that might be receiving medicines that would want to participate in that, we would like to extend that offer and see if they cannot participate in that as well. The other project, which I thought will be of interest to people who are working in Haiti, is a program that we launched with the Ministry of Health. We have a memorandum of understanding with the Ministry of Health to strengthen their CDAs, which are the departmental warehouses where the ministry distributes medicine to various partners in the departments. There are 10 of these warehouses that are in various states of disrepair and uncoordination. So we are working to, one, bring those facilities up to par and also train, you get all of their staff, all 10 of those facilities, on a common platform for storing and tracking medicine so that when they access medicine through MRES, they're using a common system, a common language. So for organizations that do access the ministry's medical supply chain, either through MRES or one of these departmental warehouses, we hope to have to build a capacity of that that system. So that's sort of what we're working on. We're starting in Lakai with the Department of Lakai and the warehouse there, and we'll be doing a training of their staff, all of the warehouse staff, later in this year, probably March or April. So we look forward to updating you on that in the future.
Thanks, Robert. I would say that those that are on the call that have initiatives with MSROs would definitely may have consignees in some of the places that you're working with, so that
right.
Having worked with one of those seems very relevant potentially to them. Any questions for Robert? Okay, hearing none, I I believe Kristen Weinauer is on the call from CRS, and CRS has a request from CRS Afghanistan. Kristen, are you out there?
I am. Thank you, Bruce. What a great phone call. It was so interesting listening to everybody. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
great.
Thank you for the invite. Yeah. Should I just go forward with it?
Please.
All right, great. So I'm Kristen Weinhauer. I'm with Catholic Relief Services. I'm a health and HIV technical advisor, and I work with programs internationally. In our programs, and our health programs are in about 50 countries. One of those countries is Afghanistan. We don't actually have much health programming going there, but it is a country where they're finding that any sort of specialties, and this isn't all that uncommon, but it's definitely stark in Afghanistan that anything with a specialization around it, pediatrics, whatnot, is lacking. And one of the things that they have a direct connection with in the Afghanistan country program is urology is something that's lacking, and people are having, if you have money, you leave the country to go any sort of care. So they're looking to build capacity around that. They're hoping, somewhere between 3 and 5 Afghan doctors, all English-speaking, wanting to bring them to the U.S., and the overall objective would be that they gain some sort of increased knowledge or advanced urological procedures and general surgical methods and are able to successfully take these practices back with them to Afghanistan. They're looking for maybe on-the-job learning or accompaniment, any sort of training workshop, meeting with any doctors or nurses or other medical professionals around this, particularly in the areas of urology and general surgery. And so it's specifically like lower and upper tract urology, laparoscopy, male-female urology procedures, bladder stones, urethral stones, flexible uteroscopy, bladder slings for incontinence. It's specific. It's definitely like taking it to that next level around urology. So they've been looking for quite a few months now, and sort of they have the people who have the interest around this, and we're looking to see if there's anybody interested in supporting that. So thank you, Bruce.
And the real ask is that someone would be willing to host these doctors or some number of them at a facility in the United States, correct?
Correct. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
So.
But we're flexible. Like if there's some other way of doing it, if you see building capacity somehow around this, that would we just know that there's a real need there.
Great. Thank you, Kristen. Are there any questions for Kristen to clarify the request or?
Yeah, Bruce, this is Mark Koenig. When we say host, does that mean what would they want the health system to cover or the in terms of the expenses? I guess is really what they're put on that side of stuff.
Kristen.
No, it's a great question. We don't have that figured out yet. If there was something that you were offering, then we would work with that, and then we would go back and look at what other additional resources were around, or maybe try to partner with somebody else who was interested in something like that for like sending them over. So we would work with, because it's just a request that's being sent out there. We would work with whoever was interested in providing whatever piece of it. Does that make sense?
Yep. And I guess the other question being, do you think they understand on that end, if they come, they wouldn't be able to actually do any hands-on? It would all only be, observation and discussion?
Of course, right, because they're not licensed in the U.S. Yeah. Sure, I mean, that could be easily explained.
Yeah, okay.
How many people would you be considering in this type of a program?
They're looking for 3 to 5, but we'd also
And when
too.
Would you want it to start?
When do you want them? they're flexible. You know what I mean? I mean, something like this would probably take a couple months of planning or maybe a month of planning, and then we would go from there. But, we're working on other people's schedules, so we're flexible.
And Kristen, as far as logistics, CRS would take care of all the helping them get the needed visas and such and if somebody were interested, you'd work through them, there's obviously housing costs and that kind of stuff that would have to be worked out by someone in this equation. So you would work with, you would at least be willing to have conversations with our health systems if they were able to accommodate having them at the hospital?
Correct. I mean, it would be a delegation that would be coming in, and depending on the location, then we would look at what are all, or if we have any other partners in the area, and then we would, you know what I mean, then we could sort of develop a plan. But, yeah, it would be a delegation. We treat them as such coming in, a CRS delegation coming in some way, and, like, you know, what does it mean when they come into the U.S. and all those, and are they accompanied by somebody? Those are all things we would work out, and we would work with whomever is interested in whatever pieces they're interested in taking on, because maybe they're used to taking in small delegations, maybe they're not, you know, and then we go from there.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions for Kristen?
Kristen, this is Lisa Kelly in Nebraska. Do you have that written up anywhere that you could email us and we could share that with potential partners or hosts?
You bet. I'm going to Bruce has seen this, and I'm going to forward it back to him right now again, and maybe he can share that with you. Are you okay with that, Bruce?
Absolutely. I'll be happy to send that out. And if you're interested, if you'll email me, I can send it to everyone, but I will definitely follow up if you send it to me direct, if you send me the request for information. Great. Thanks, Kristen. We will we'll hope that we can find somebody that is willing to take on parts of this. And I know even in my conversations here at the Pentagon today, there's such great need for this in Afghanistan.
No, great. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about this. I'm probably going to hang up in a second if that's and then hopefully maybe another time I can join in. But this is, you guys do great stuff. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So that is the end of our formal presentations or agenda. Is there anything else that anyone else is out there that's doing that they would like to share today? We have a few minutes.
Bruce, this is Lisa Kelly again. We're working on sending our next mission of employees from Allegiant Creighton Health over to our mission in Tanzania. And I'm just wondering if people have the support resources around making it spiritual practices and reflection tools and things of that nature that can make it a little more meaningful of a trip for those going.
We do have some access to some of those that we've had in the past, and I can share those with you, Lisa. Anyone else have anything that if anyone else has anything, please send it to me, and I'll make sure to forward that to Lisa. How's that?
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Greg Hodgson calling from Colorado. And Lisa, I'm actually leaving tomorrow for Africa and going to be hooking up with our team from Centura Health with Bob there in Tanzania. But I'd love to talk with you further about that project and maybe
That'd
some resources
great.
We could share.
That'd be great. Have a great trip.
Thank you.
Hey, Bruce, this is Mark.
Yes.
I actually have a question for the folks on the call, too. In terms of tricks or ways to get airlines to provide free the cost of totes for free, you know, when a team goes, you know, I heard today that Delta Airlines supposedly will do that if you give them your charity care, you know, your charitable number, tax number. Are people having success with any particular airline getting baggage donated?
You mean the baggage charge?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mark, this is Kathy Garcia. You're talking about extra luggage.
Right.
So each person can check in one for free. So this is beyond that.
Right.
Okay.
They used to be really good about it, but it's really, really hard now.
They don't.
Yeah.
You know, we use United Airlines, formerly Continental, and they're charging $40 right now for each extra piece. So.
Okay.
But they have not. Occasionally, they will allow us to do one or two for free. Why, I'm not sure. But most of the time, we're paying for each extra piece. So I'm just trying to learn how to be more conservative with what I take and how to get more supplies and medications in country so they don't have to be shipped. Not that that's a huge help to you, but that's just what we've learned.
This is Sister Suzanne. When we flew last time to Cameroon, Africa, we simply told them that it was medications in medical supplies in the one bag, and they just let them go through. We had a little bit of trouble when we got to Lithuanian Airlines or something. They said, why do you have an extra bag? And we just told them that the others had said it was okay, and they let us slip through too.
Which airline were you?
We were on a number of them, but they were all partners, I believe, of Delta. It was a consolidated variety of airlines.
And it was just one bag you're talking about, though, too, right?
One each. There was two of us traveling.
Okay.
This is Mary Jo. If somebody's traveling that's a gold member with American Airlines, as many as five other people on the flight, if they buy the tickets under that person's name for up to six people, including that person, all the baggage, two bags per person are free, which can be pretty significant coming and going.
But it
has to be somebody that has enough mileage to have that status. But if the tickets are all bought in that person's name, then there's no baggage charge for two bags.
Mark, you'll just have to invite me to go on all your trips with you.
You could be our
me,
friend.
Mark.
I'll,
if you can get me to. If you're going south.
The same is true for Delta. If you have their credit card, you get your first bag up to, I think it's nine people on your ticket get their first bag free.
Now, that's just having a certain credit card with Delta?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And I believe United does the same thing.
There you go, Kathy. You just need to get the platinum whatever card it is with United.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or fly more. Actually, I can get two bags on, but I have to, I'm the only one usually that has that many miles under their belt.
Yeah, there's a couple angles here that I can explore.
What's
happening now is we're not only taking totes down, we're bringing them back. And so it's like it's a double, so you get hit twice. And it's expensive.
Great. Well, if anybody else has other thoughts or learns of anything, please let us know and we'll share that with Mark.
Yeah. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay. Anything else?
Bruce, I have a question. This is Mary Jo at the UN.
Yes.
We have a group on migrant children in the committee, NGO Committee on Migrants, and we have a couple of people who are working on a project in Zaatari camp in Jordan, refugees from Syria, and there's a concern in that camp that the children, the mental health needs are not being responded to, so they're working on a handbook. So I'm wondering if there's anybody else who's doing something like this. We're working with IOM and UNICEF and some other groups, but I'm wondering if anybody has any hands-on experience with that. What tends to happen is parents are traumatized, and they're in a survival mode, and the kids,
Mary Jo, I would think that I know that CRS works in this field, and they actually are the article that is going to be in this Times Catholic Health Journal. They wrote about this very subject, and I'd be happy to put you in contact with some people at CRS that are doing that. The person in charge of the health department at CRS has her doctorate in psychology. So and the person working on health system strengthening is a social worker, and they've worked in lots of those kinds of situations, so I would think they may be very helpful.
That would be great. We're in touch with Michelle Lavoie, who works on migration. I think she's CRS.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar? That would be helpful. Even the article would be helpful because they have contacts inside the camp who have asked for this, and that's why we're trying to collaborate with people who are already in the camp, and we think we've got a a group of people there, but we want to know if there's people get in hands-on experience. So that would be helpful. And both of these are academics, and so that would be a good match, I think.
Okay. Well, I'll be happy to follow up on that.
Thanks.
Yes. I want to just do a check. Kim Van Oosten, are you still on the call?
I am.
Good. Since I'm calling from D.C. and I'm in a bit of a predicament, can you make sure I follow up on that? I know that's not your job, and I don't want anybody to think it is, but if you'll help me remember to get Sister those contacts, I'll do that when I get back.
Oh, absolutely.
That
would be great.
Any other last minute before we sign off thoughts? Hearing none. I will say thank you to everyone. I think this has been a great call. We hope to continue to follow this this format. And if you have something that you'd like to highlight the next time, please let me know. And don't forget to mark your calendars for the webinar on April 11th. You'll be receiving something about that soon. And also the Global Summit on June 4th in Anaheim. I think we have great agendas for both of those. So hope you'll all be able to join us.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
See you all soon.
Bless you all.
Thanks.